What conditions might you develop if you spend too long at a boot camp? Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today we're looking at some conditions that are related to spending too long in your boots whilst attending a boot camp. Last weekend saw the inaugural Urgent Care Boot Camp, a whole day of short, urgent care relevant presentations aimed solely at urgent care practice. It was held at the Cordis Hotel in Auckland and featured 5 to 10 minute talks on topics ranging from nail bed injuries, fracture management, syncope, POCUS, resuscitation, child protection, redirection from ED, burns, and much, much more. This was a new venture for our college and the day was a big success. Many thanks to all the presenters and sponsors, but in particular, a huge thank you is owed to Afraz, Alex, Hadi and Dave for all their organising and behind-the-scenes work. In keeping with the theme of a boot camp, we played 2 Urgent Bites live on the day, and for those of you that did not attend, those bites will be played now, but this time they will run back-to-back and will include our licensed music. If you did attend the boot camp, check out the show notes for the links to the articles discussed. Live bite number 1. A disease seemingly from the past, but still relevant today. Hello and welcome to an Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today, as we're at the inaugural Urgent Care Boot Camp, I thought we would look at some boot camp related conditions. Trench foot is a type of immersion injury, and it is thought of as a non-freezing cold injury, thus differentiating it from frostbite. It was first described in 1812 by the French surgeon Dr. Dominique Jean Larrey, who identified it in Napoleonic soldiers as they retreated from Russia, and it acquired the name trench foot during World War I. Now, you may think that an historic warfare condition might not have a place in your differential list in today's urgent care practice, but trench foot is a condition that can strike anywhere feet are exposed to prolonged cold, wet, immersion. As such, there have been cases reported as recently as this year at a muddy music festival in the UK. Cold, but not freezing temperatures, combined with moisture, result in neurovascular changes that result in vasoneuropathy. A cycle of hyperemia and edema then causes capillary damage and ultimately tissue and nerve damage. It is felt that other compounding factors such as concurrent tinea infection, trauma, blisters, venous hypertension, lymphedema, and poor diet all might then contribute to the condition progressing to cellulitis, sepsis, and tissue necrosis. Now, prevention is better than cure, so keeping feet warm and dry and trauma-free is advised, but once established, treatment includes managing any tinea infection, antibiotics for cellulitis, and ultimately surgical debridement of necrotic tissue is needed. Vasodilators such as iloprost and performing sympathectomies have been used, but their role is not clear. There is a link in the show notes to an article in Clinical and Experimental Dermatology by Mistry et al. Published this year that is worth a read. So if you're listening to this at the boot camp, you can get the link next week when this bite is released. So make sure you follow the podcast if you've not already. So, trench foot is a disease from the history books that's worth keeping in your differential list if you see someone who has been standing out in the mud in near freezing conditions. Live bite number 2. That time when too much marching is bad for you. Hello and welcome to an Urgent Bite brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and for this bite, as we are still at the inaugural boot camp, we are having another quick look at boot camp related issues. So if you've been marching for a long time in your army boots, you might get sore feet. Now, what are the possible causes of that pain? The march fracture, so named not because of the month, but because it is seen in people who do a lot of marching, is a metatarsal stress fracture, usually the second or third metatarsal. They were first described in 1855 in Prussian soldiers, but these days we are much more likely to see them in patients who have been doing an increased amount of running, usually in preparation for a marathon. There is a theory that during increased activity, the action of osteoblasts lags initially behind that of the osteoclasts, resulting in microfracture formation and then resultant stress fracture. Patients usually report pain associated with increased activity, and this pain can be dull and gradual in onset. Often, no one specific traumatic event will be recalled. Whilst it is important to x-ray these feet, very few patients will have abnormal initial x-rays. As time goes on, fracture lines may become visible, but it is more likely that you will see subtle sclerosis or periosteal reaction. Usually the diagnosis is a clinical one, in patients who have the right history and have tenderness to the metatarsal regardless of x-ray findings initially. Refraining from impactful activity is advised, and a firm orthopaedic shoe might be helpful. Arranging for follow-up review and imaging after 2 weeks enables clarification of the diagnosis, but sometimes even delayed x-rays do not show these injuries. MRI is the imaging modality of choice, if you have access. In New Zealand, keen sportspeople who need to know so they can resume their activities can be referred to a sports physician who can arrange the MRI. A graded return to activity is used dependent on symptoms, and so involving a podiatrist or physiotherapist can be helpful, but patients should be advised that it can take 6 to 12 weeks to recover. A podiatrist is also a good idea so as to get the patient's footwear assessed to help prevent recurrence, because up to 60% of patients can apparently get a recurrence. Now, another activity-related foot pain we need to be aware of course, is plantar fasciitis. This is easy to differentiate from a march fracture clinically, as the pain is within the plantar fascia, and in particular the calcaneal insertion, but it is often associated with increased physical activity. And it's also worth mentioning too that if the patient is young and has activity-related heel pain, apophysitis of the calcaneus, known as Sever's disease, needs considering. Now, as with all activity-related injuries, the mainstay of initial treatment is refraining from the aggravating activity. So one difficulty of managing increased activity-related injuries is that they are usually in highly motivated individuals for whom the prescribed treatment of rest does not sit well. Involving sports physicians in these patients is always a good plan, and it's also wise to make sure the patients have been given a realistic expectation for healing time early on. And since we usually see them at first presentation, it is incumbent on us to give them this information. I attach articles in the show notes for some further reading on march fractures, plantar fasciitis, and Sever's. And we'll be back again with another Urgent Bite. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.